You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
Now, South Africa's hosting of the G20 presidency comes with big ambitions and, I guess, bigger accountability. From cross-border tax cooperation to the war on illicit trade, the stakes couldn't be higher. At a recent progress briefing, the Foreign Relations Minister, Ronald Lamola, says we've entered a period of what he terms purposeful leadership. But the numbers, I think, tell a more complicated story. Illicit financial flows, smuggling and runaway tobacco trade draining the fiscus and are also undermining our financial action task force commitments. So what's the real state of reform, and are we getting serious or just getting by? Someone with a strong view on that is economist Sifiso Skanjana, and I want to unpack with him where policy is gaining traction and perhaps where it is falling apart. So Sifiso, welcome to you. And the minister talks of purposeful leadership, but with South Africa still grey-listed, isn't that just optimism covering for inaction?
I mean, I think just on the grey-listing, Jeremy, we did get feedback from the FATF simply on the action items that we needed to respond to last year. They came back in February this year again with a view on some of the, I guess, items we had made progress on. And I think that really, I think, gave a sense for South Africa that we're probably at the next announcement, which is coming, I think, now, end of June, we probably might see a revision of South Africa coming out of the grey list. But with that said, we are finding weaknesses in other parts of the issues that need, of course, to be dealt with from an illicit trade point of view. We, from a tobacco point of view, for example, South Africa is the only country in the world where an illicitly traded cigarette out-traded cigarettes that are traded over the counter. We're seeing that growing in terms of illicit alcohol sales as well. And we've seen a moderation, at least in illicit textiles. And so these are some of the issues that also then create a burgeoning environment for illicit money flows, as well as illicit industry product flows that I think could continue to put pressure in terms of where we are on the FATF perspective in terms of our grey listing. But as per the Feb note to us, however, it seemed like we were making some progress.
So let me pick you up on tobacco, if I can, and two quick issues here. One is that figure of 60% of the market is astonishing. Does that mean that SARS itself is outgunned or underprepared? And also, the new tobacco bill itself completely ignores illicit trade. So it would be safe to say, surely, that it's toothless from the start.
Yeah, and I mean, I think starting with SARS point of view, they're absolutely at this point in time undercapacitated to be able to respond to that. If you remember, there is a case that SARS did take to court where some of the manufacturers, in essence, to be honest with you, when SARS went in to do inspections in the factories, they dropped the cameras to look at the floor. And simply, I mean, and SARS took that to court, and the court found that the guys argued specifically that this would hamper their competitive positioning. And so I think there's certainly some rethinking around some of the work that happens there. But I think from an SABS point of view, which is in essence the standards, we've seen Kenya make really, really interesting progress there in terms of track and trace. And so all the way from the paper that's used in the cigarette, etc., each of them has got a serial number. And I think that then ultimately enhances the ability to track and trace and therefore to be able to follow the money from a revenue point of view. And I mean, we know that from a tobacco point of view, we're now losing close to about 20 billion in terms of fiscal leakage just on the back end of that. And so I think capacitation from a SARS point of view is a massive, massive agenda, as well as I think in terms of the value chain, which then goes to the standards and specifications. And I think then looking specifically at the tobacco bill, I think one of the things that is a challenge is when you're looking at issues with sin goods, as we often call them, is that public health promotion becomes the beaten end all. And sometimes the overemphasis on public health promotion can create a blind spot in the way in which we need to think about all the other things that are moving parts in the sector. And so when you look at particularly some of them, the provisions that are ignored insofar as the bill is concerned, is if South Africa really then is, you know, in a melting pot for illicit trade, surely then we must understand that, the bill must address those things. And I think the bill is wholly failed failed to address issues that can lead to illicit trading in South Africa. And I think that's one of the things that I think is going to be a big pressure point when the bill, or if the bill does get pushed through.
And there's also a revenue paradigm to all of this. So you suggest that we've passed the LAFA curve peak, but the response is we keep hiking excise taxes. So surely it's an indication either of revenue blindness, just not understanding the issue, or just political posturing.
No, I think it's definitely both, right? Then the posturing is simply that, you know, if it's a sin good, you must tax it forever and ever. You know, that's kind of the thinking, that it's the one thing you always expect, without looking at the industry and market dynamics of that particular sector, looking at whether or not you're going to run the sector to the ground through more excessive taxing, or looking at alternative models of actually, one, getting value out of the industry. Because as you said, once you've passed the LAFA curve, any additional percentage in taxation actually results in negative growth outcomes in that particular sector. And so certainly, I think when we look at that particular sector, we've missed opportunities of looking comprehensively of, in essence, what I would call the smoking economy. When you look at, you know, kind of the growth in vaping, and then there's non-burn products, heat-not-burn products. You've got the products that you put underneath your tongue, etc. And therefore, when you're thinking about taxation, differentiation becomes quite important. And so once you start to say the extent to which the product creates a certain risk, the level of taxation must be commensurate to that. And therefore, when you look at Article 14 coming from the World Health Organization talking about cessation, which simply speaks about then trying to move people to smoking less, and therefore your tax regime must be responsive to a cessation program. And so when people are moving to heat not burn products, and so people aren't exposed to secondary smoke, that must expose itself to a different taxation regime. And so all this is the kind of thinking, innovative thinking, that we need to be thinking about at a national treasury level when we are now starting to think about a dynamic and a changing industry. It's no longer just cigars and cigarettes. It's moving into different types of parts of the industry. And I think those are some of the things that could improve some of the revenue collection outcomes at a national treasury level.
I'll just need a quick answer to this because time's against us. You suggest that we're at something of a tipping point. So are we there yet? And what's the real economic cost to the country if we don't act right now?
Massive economic cost, I think, is that 60% of the illicit market's going to get higher. And then it means that all your efforts to curb negative health outcomes from cigarettes are actually going to be moot. And I think that's the first big issue, is that everything around public health promotion is actually going to regress. Secondly, the revenue that you're going to be able to collect from the sector is going to regress as well. And so we're at a tipping point in terms of public health promotion as well as future revenue collection from the sector.
Well, the warning certainly has been sounded. That's economist Sfiso Skanjana. I appreciate your time. Thank you.